This is it. Nothing needs to be said. As season two of Shooting Lights Out ends with episode 65, New York stand up. Liberty, our champions.
Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick it again. Cause that's the only way to win, that's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
Well, how we doing, good people? It is Monday, October 21st, 2024. It is Shooting Lights Out, and this is the end of season two of Shooting Lights Out, episode 65. I have done 65 episodes, going all the way back to the beginning of the NBA season last year to now, which is the final of the WNBA season, because it has concluded on yesterday. So, yes, I am going to somewhat celebrate as the New York Liberty are finally WNBA champions for the first time ever. But we're going to dive into the game. We're going to talk about what took place in the game. We're going to talk about the controversial that happened in the game and why you can't let things like that happen if you're that team that felt screwed. I cheated out of or stolen from, because you had your opportunities, Minnesota Lynx, to capture this fifth title and you didn't close the deal. You allowed the Liberty to stick around and win the game. But we're getting into all of that eventually. But first and foremost, we got to go around the hardwood for your news and notes from around the game of basketball. And to begin around hardwood, a shocking development that took place out of nowhere last week, towards the end of last week. Tony Bennett, the Virginia Cavaliers men's basketball coach, suddenly retired. This was shocking news that the news first broke on Thursday. Press conference on a Friday, and it was very shocking, to say the least. Former Virginia basketball coach Tony Bennett, who officially announced his retirement Friday morning, pointed to the current environment in college sports as one of the driving forces behind his abrupt decision to step down with the Cavaliers. See, Bennett went on to say, quote, "The hardest thing to say is when I looked at myself, and I realize I am no longer the best coach to lead this program in this current environment. If you are going to do it, you got to be all in. If you do it half-hearted, it's not fair to the university and to those young men. So in looking at it, that's what made me step down." And those of you who are wondering, there's been a lot of us, there's no speculation on why he stepped down. It's the landscape of college sports has changed. The NIL, the transfer portal. There's no handle on the transfer portal. There's no handle on NIL. So the fact that players are getting paid to play now, and deservedly so, there's no salary cap or no structure, maybe that's the better term to use, for this NIL that has been running rampantly over college sports. But not only that, the transfer portal, if I can say, it probably is running more rampantly than the NIL, because if a certain player feels some type of way, they can just transfer. They can red shirt, as we've seen in college football. There have been players that feel some type of way. They red shirt themselves so they can transfer to another school and play next year without losing the money owed to them, but they're not playing. So it's a very interesting landscape in college sports. We knew it was going to be different for football. Now we're starting to see it affect college basketball. And the more important thing about college basketball, when we're talking about men's college basketball, we still have the one and done thing going on. So you can still play 1 year and go to the NBA. You see, there's so much going on in college sports now. The coaches that we are used to knowing, the Tony Bennett's of the world, the Jay White's of the world, the Mike Krzyzewski's of the world, the Roy Williams of the world, are starting to step away from college. To now, Tom Izzo is still standing. Mark Few is still standing. Hopefully he's still standing when Gonzaga make their transition to the Pac-12 next year. It's very interesting how this is going on. Very, very interesting. So I am going to be interested to see how the Virginia Cavaliers look this year and then the year after that with the sudden retirement of Tony Bennett, which is very, very surprising. Now, from college, men's college ball to the NBA. Cavaliers' Matt Stewart is out six weeks with an ankle sprain. That's unfortunate as the season is pretty much here. I will tell you why that's is here in a minute. But Matt Stewart's not being there for 6 weeks. Ooh, at least he's at the beginning of the season and not towards the end of the season. So he'll be back and he should be ready to rock and roll. Here's something to look into. The New York Knicks big man, Precious Achiuwa, is out 2 to 4 weeks with a strained hamstring. They already don't have Mitchell Robinson, who's going to be out for a minute because he had offseason surgery. Now you have Achiuwa, who is out 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. You didn't re-sign Isaiah Hartenstein because he went to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So now your resident big man is Karl Anthony Towns, which was a trade that you made with the Minnesota Timberwolves that sent Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo to the Timberwolves. Now let's see how this looks going forward for the New York Knicks because, yeah, opening night, yeah, not that far away to be exact. Opening night is still opening night. So what are we going to do if we are the New York Knicks trying to get this ship going in the right direction? The Golden State Warriors have extended Moses Moody on a 3-year, $39 million deal. Moody had a great year last year. I don't know. He became a rotational player, a very dependable rotational player for the Golden State Warriors last year. So I love that Golden State did, you know, compensate one of their own, unlike they did with somebody else. But hey, that's neither here or there. Moses Moody will be there for another 3 years. He was going into his final year of his rookie contract. So now he gets to be in the Bay Area for an extra 3 years. So good for you and good job, Rich Paul. Unfortunately, for another team, which is the Milwaukee Bucks, they will be dealing with injuries right out the gate because Chris Middleton to miss season opener as he's still recovering from off-season injury. Oh, surgery, should I say. So, yeah, the Bucks will be beginning their season, and if I remember correctly, they play the Philadelphia 76ers, if I remember correctly. That's a bummer right there to not have Chris Middleton for the opener. But for right now, it's only the opener, and they haven't said the extent of the injury. They haven't said how long it will take. So they just hoping for just for the opener, and the Bucks do, they are at Philadelphia. That will be on Wednesday, and that game will be showed on ESPN. So, yes, a bummer for the Bucks. But at the same time, it doesn't look like the 76ers will have Paul George, so you might be even on that plane, if we're being completely honest. So let's see how that goes for both sides on Wednesday. Speaking of the NBA, opening night is tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. The banner number 18 for the Boston Celtics will be raised to the Raptors around 7 p.m., 7:15. And then after that, it is the first game of the 2024 NBA season, as the 18-time champions Boston Celtics will play host to rival the New York Knicks in the first game that Carl Anthony Towns is in the New York Knicks uniform. Jalen Brunson along the way, with Mikal Bridges also wearing a Knicks uniform for the first time, going against the reigning defending champion who brought back all five starters. Pretty much they brought back pretty much the rest of their team. You still got Jrue Holiday. You still got Jason Tatum. You still got Jaylen Brown. Kristaps Porzingis, who might not be playing in this game, if I remember correctly. He might be back sometime in November or December. Okay. So this should be an interesting way to start things off. 7:30 on TNT. And then following that game, we head from Boston to the other legendary city when it comes to basketball. This city of the Angels, the Los Angeles area, with the Los Angeles Lakers playing host to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo in their first game as Minnesota Timberwolves win that trade for Carl Anthony Towns, alongside Anthony Edwards taking on LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers under new Lakers coach J.J. Redick. That will follow Knicks Celtics on TNT as per usual. And this is the final season. I want y'all to remember this. This is the final season that TNT will be covering the NBA. So this is the last year that we get inside the NBA with Ernie Johnson, Kenny the Jet Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, and Sir Charles Barkley. So let's make sure that this final inside the NBA season goes out with a bang, like Mike Breen liked to say during his call. So I'm looking forward to this. And at some point in time, we'll talk about how I see the season. But I don't know when that would be. But that would do it for Around the Hardwood. We're going to take our break here. And then when we come back, we have crowned a champion in the WNBA. And I'm happy to know that it was my favorite team. We'll be back.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. No, oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Sports fans are gearing up, whether it be for the madness of March, whether it be for the Super Bowl or even a little thing called WrestleMania. You can get all that at Fanatics, where they have a wide selection of gear from every league, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the NHL, the NCAA, and the WWE. So go on and show that pride, that passion, that dedication fan that you are by whipping your team, your league, or your favorite player. Fanatics, official license, everything.
Drew Willingham.
In this case, yeah, you put the blame on Kyle Shanahan for apparently not preparing the team enough for the overtime rules, supposedly.
Cole Johnson.
Peyton was considered the winner, and he was the darling of all darlings for Jarrell.
With a special appearance by Tyrone Alize McDummy.
Ain't nobody calling me. Text delete, 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 delete.
Join these two football enthusiasts as they give you Total Football Talk live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. On the Sertoba Media and the Comey Media YouTube channels. This is a BS3 Network presentation.
I want to do a TED Talk, but I don't have anything to talk about yet. I'm getting there.
Life is for the living. We're not here that long.
You can learn anything you want to learn without any money spent.
What do I really enjoy? What do I really want out of life?
I am your host, W-I-Z-E.
Are you in a life-holding pattern? Well, this is for you. Welcome to the Stuck in My Mind podcast. Live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting That Lights Out. Those of you who probably remember me, I kind of sound a little different because I am trying to battle the sickness here, who's been trying to take out my throat and all this other stuff. You know, me getting around in Florida, be getting around to that season where a lot of sickness happened, so I'm trying to fight it off. Anyway, my man Cole Johnson is in the chat. He says, woohoo! The LeBron James versus Michael Jordan means argument comparison will kick into high gear this week. Yay. No, he's why he did it because I'm the one who started the whole yay thing and it actually involved LeBron James, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm happy to bring that to Shooting Lights. So, oh, by the way, Cole Jones, we might need to update the Total Football commercial because they don't no longer go at 4. They go at 11 a.m. So they did their show earlier before I came on air. Great show. Good show, by the way. Loved it. Enjoyed it. As well as the Good Morning Show with Cole Johnson. Enjoyed today's episode. He did a very good job talking about Israel and Iran. Also, he's keeping a close eye on the election that we get closer and closer to electing a new president. Yeah. We're not that far away. About 2 weeks away. Nevertheless, to close out this season 2 with episode 65, from as we started all the way back from almost a year ago, started with the opening of the NBA season until we got here now. So I've been on basketball, NBA, college basketball, both men and women. And the WNBA. And the WNBA ended last night. It was, ladies and gentlemen, game 5 of the WNBA Finals between the Minnesota Lynx and the New York Liberty. Series tied 2-2. There will be a winner, and history will be made. Will the Minnesota Lynx grab their fifth WNBA championship, breaking a tie with then the Houston Comets, or will the New York Liberty grab their first ever WNBA championship? Ladies and gentlemen, it is great. It is great. It is my honor and my privilege to say 28 years, 28 long years and the New York Liberty have captured their first WNBA championship in franchise history. They did something that they have never done before. And I said for them to do it, they have to do something that they have never done before, which is why Coach Johnson's in the chat trying to pick on me, because he said, I thought the Liberty stood no chance. I thought your Liberty was going to lose this one, lose this series, playmaker. Well, they did something that they have never done before, sir. First and foremost, after losing a six straight game one of the WNBA Finals, they won two straight games, grabbing their first ever finals lead at 2-1 after game three, which we're going to get into that a little later on, because what happened at the end of game three will now live in forever. It's now one of the most famous shots in basketball history, but we'll get to that. But see, they had to do something that they have never done before, and that was to come back and win a series, especially in the WNBA Finals. We have Joe T. Jamazi. Congratulations, MVP JJ and World Champion Liberty. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for watching. As you see here, you see breakdown. Liberty had a 9-point lead after one, 7-point lead at halftime. The Liberty took the lead at the three. Fourth quarter, the Lynx tied it up to send it to overtime. And overtime, you see 7-2. We're going to break this down. All right. So as we break this down, let's get into the statistics here. Neither team shot well at all. Neither team. Minnesota Lynx shot 37% from the field. The Liberty did not get no home cooking, only 30.6% from the field. Even worse from three-point range, the Liberty only shot 8.7% from three-point range. Minnesota Lynx shot 15.8% from three-point range, 17 turnovers from the Lynx, 12 turnovers for the Liberty. But the Liberty out-rebounded the Lynx by 11, 44 to 33. But if you see these numbers, you'll say, how in the hell, how in the God-given world did the Lynx survive this atrocity of shooting? At home, by the way. This was in Barclays Center. Well, because on the Minnesota side, Nafisa Collier, being the stud that she is, 22 points, 7 boards. Okay, 11 for 23 from the field. Did not take a free throw. Keep that in mind. Kelly McBride, 21 points to also help. But Bridget Carlton, 3 points. Elena Smith, bound with a back injury, 6 points. Courtney Williams, only 4 points. And we're going to talk about Courtney Williams, because something about that overtime that stuck out to me. I don't know. A lot of people ain't going to talk about it, because everybody going to talk about what Coach Reeves had to say about a certain play towards the end of the fourth quarter that helped the Liberty get the game into overtime. All right. And if we look at the Liberty side, John Crell Jones, 17 points, 6 boards. Phoebus gave you 13. Stewart gave you 13 and 15 boards. But there's somebody on the bench that was an unsung hero for the New York Liberty. And I will tell you who that is a little later. Now, let's move it on. As you see the statistics here, the full statistics here, you see the field goal percentages. You see how they shot. But the free throw is what most people want to talk about. The Minnesota Lynx, they went to the line 8 times and they hit 7 of 8. That is 87.5%, which is very good. The Liberty, however, 21 out of 25, 84%. That's a difference of, if my math is correct, Cole Johnson, correct me if I'm correct, that's a difference of 17 more free throws for the Liberty than the Lynx. Excuse me. 17 more free throws. Something is a little off here, okay? You look at the fouls down below at the end, Minnesota Lynx got called for 21 fouls. The Liberty got called for 17 fouls. So, one, either the Liberty was fouling without the Lynx shooting the ball, or the Liberty was more aggressive than the Lynx, or we don't know. Because the refs throughout the entire WNBA season have not been spectacular, to say the least. They have been terrible. Absolutely terrible throughout the entire season. There's a lot of people who have said this, okay? You heard LeBron James commented, let the ladies, you know, decide the game and whatnot. And all this other stuff. Twitter was on fire, okay? This says, hey, X was on fire, all right? Now, look at everybody, all the champions. We're going to dive more into it. Happy to see it. I'm fairly happy. Very, very happy. I'm going to get more happy in a minute. John Crell Jones, MVP of the finals. 17.8 points this series. 7.6 rebounds, 2.2 assists a game. She did her thing. She made the things happen. But now let's get to the real thing. Let's get to this part here. Okay. So right here, as the clock is winding down and the links are up too, Elena Smith got called for a foul on Breonna Stewart, who was going up for a shot. The Sheryl Reese challenges the call. And the call stood as a foul on Elena Smith. And Breonna Stewart got to shoot two free throws. Now, before we get into the free throws, doesn't look a lot like contact took place on this play. Marginal contact, if anything. Which is, if it's marginal contact, that means there's no foul. That's not what the ref said. That's not what they deem. They still get with the foul. Now, here's the interesting thing here. Sheryl Reese went to the press conference. She said if she were to send that clip in to the office of the WBA, she would get the response that it was marginal contact and that's no foul. And she guaranteed it. Cool. Get your point. I'm not going to argue because, hey, I didn't see enough for a foul to be called. But, hey, the refs called a foul. They called it. They called it. I can't. There's nothing I can do about it. All right. But here's the thing, though. Even though the foul was called, you sent a struggling Breonna Stewart to the free throw line. Because previously, she missed her last two free throw shots before this one. So she goes there. She hits the first one. Little rattle. But he goes in. And she hits the second one. We're tied. We're going to overtime. We're going overtime. But I get it. There's those of you out there who are mad. And Sheryl Reese, they stole the final for us. They stole the final. That's the word she used, Cole Johnson. Snowman, I see you in the chat. Shout out to Snowman checking in. Appreciate you, Snowman. Sheryl Reese said they stole the finals from them. That's the key word that I want to focus on. The word is stolen, which is a past tense for steal, if I remember correctly. So, what I want to do, I want to look at the word steal. What does steal mean? To take the property of another wrongfully and especially as a habitant or regular practice. To take away by force or unjust means. So the championship was stolen from the Minnesota Lynx, correct? Is that what I'm hearing, right? Okay. Because this is a similar situation that I saw in the NFL. And the reason why I'm doing this is because when I hear the word steal, that means it was stolen from you and you don't get that opportunity back. But if I'm wrong, the game went in overtime. Game went in overtime, correct? Whether you like to call or not, the game, you did have to play 5 extra minutes, right? 5 extra minutes to get yourself crowned as champion. Correct? Well, if that's the case, here's all the missed opportunities that nobody's going to talk about because we're going to focus on the call that shouldn't have been called a foul. To some eyes, to others eyes, they liked this issue. It's a difference of opinions when it comes to calls like that, okay? Let's just call it what it is. But this is what I got for you. I have missed opportunities for the Minnesota Lynx. Here you go. Number one, you led by 12 with 3 minutes to go left in the second quarter going into halftime. You get outscored 7-2 by the New York Liberty. Instead of taking a 12-point lead or a much larger double-digit lead, now your lead is down to 7. Now, we're going to keep it a buck. We're going to keep it a buck. I'm going to agree with you. They probably shouldn't have to call a foul on that one. But let's look at the totality of the entire game here and see where other areas that the Minnesota Lynx felt at. That's number one. You had a 12-point lead. You let Liberty come back and make it a single-digit lead at halftime. That's number one. Number two, you come out in the third quarter and you got your ass whooped in the third quarter by 10. The New York Liberty outscored the Lynx 20-10. And they took a 3-point lead into the fourth quarter. So from down 12, with 3 minutes to go before halftime, the Liberty was now up 3 going to the final 10 minutes of the WNBA season. That means the Minnesota Lynx were outscored from the 3-minute mark of the second quarter going into the fourth quarter. They were outscored 27-12 in a 12-minute span. 12-minute span now. 7-2 run to end the half by New York, and they now scored the Lynx 20-10 in the third quarter. 27-12 in that, well, that's what I say, 13-minute span. That's missed opportunity number two right there. You had them down double digits, you didn't take care of it. And then you came out in the third quarter and you came out flat in the third quarter. Why did you come out flat in the third quarter? You went 3-for-13 in that quarter, which is 23.1% shooting in the third quarter. Now, I grant, sure, Reed, you have every right to call it out. I don't blame you calling it out. You call it out, call it out. But guess what? Hope today or some point during this offseason, you look at yourself and you look at your team that says, we didn't do enough. And I have the evidence right here. Okay? So you was up 12. You go up 7, you up 7 at halftime. You lost 5 points right there. Then you got outscored by 10 in the third quarter. Now you're trailing all of a sudden. Now, we talked about what happened in the fourth quarter. We talked about the foul and all that. The game went in overtime. So if it was stolen from you, that means the game doesn't go in overtime. That means the New York Liberty won in regulation. If it was stolen from you, okay? Because when you steal something from somebody, they don't have possession of it. They don't have the opportunity to have it. If we're talking about stealing something from somebody. The game went in overtime, which means you still had 5 minutes to make a decision on how you're going, how you gonna capture this fifth WNBA championship. And then what happened in overtime? You went 0-for-6 from the field. Your only 2 points were free throws, and you turned the ball over 4 times. And not only that, you know what makes it more egregious and why Sherry Reese need to look at herself as well instead of while blaming the refs at the same time? Who is your best player on the team? Nafisha Collier. She fouled out with 13 seconds left, which means she was in the game when the start of overtime. So with 4 minutes and 47 seconds of game time in the overtime, your best player didn't take a shot in overtime? Your best player did not take one shot in overtime. Not one. You don't believe me? I got it right here. Overtime starts, you know. Yeah, Leona Freeman's for New York hit a 3 right out the gate. Courtney Williams misses a 19-foot jumper. Okay. That's the first attempt. Courtney Williams missed the layup. That's the second attempt. Courtney Williams misses an 18-foot jumper. That's the third attempt. Okay. Kelly McBride misses a 26-foot three-pointer. That's 4 right there. Okay. As I continue to look at this, and shout out to ESPN for breaking all this down so I can look at it. You had Bridget Carlton miss a 3-pointer. That's 5 right there. And then Courtney Williams missed another shot. Courtney Williams, Kelly McBride, Bridget Carlton. Now, one of those names was Nafisha Collier. You so caught up in a call that should have been called. You so caught up in that. That you didn't even get your best player the ball in overtime so she can do what she's been doing all season long and all series long. Y'all had the opportunity. it wasn't stolen is an unfortunate call, but it wasn't stolen from you because you had the opportunity. The game wasn't over. The game went in overtime. And you failed to get your star player involved in overtime. The Liberty weren't shooting the ball very well in overtime either. They made, I think they made two, field goals and got two free throws. That's their 7 points right there. The three-pointer by Phoebus, the two-pointer by Mirawa Sabli, and free throws by Brianna Stewart. That's 7 points. So, yeah, you want to complain and steal the headlines about the game being stolen from you by the refs because of the call that shouldn't have been called, but it was called and it stood the floor and he sent you to overtime? Go for it. But the Minnesota Lynx, they had opportunities for it to not to get to that point. And then after they did get to that point, your best player doesn't take a shot in overtime. See, we are critical if this was Caitlin Clark. And if her team made it overtime and that Caitlin Clark didn't take a shot in overtime, what the internet would have been doing. The fact that Caitlin Clark didn't take a shot in overtime. Let's go to the NBA. LeBron James. Let's see if the Lakers going to overtime and LeBron James doesn't take a shot in overtime. How would the internet react to that? Oh, if it's Kevin Durant. Maybe a Luka Doncic. Okay? I'm saying this because a lot of times, and it happens to everybody, we get caught up in a moment, but fail to realize that the moment itself doesn't end the event. In this case, it did not end the event. It extended the event. This means you still had an opportunity to capture the title. And you failed to get your team together so that your best player, who is Nafisha Collier, who is arguably the best player on the floor, if I'm being completely honest, in this series, the ball in overtime so she can do what she does best. Now, I get it, Courtney Williams. She can make some key shots. Kayla McBride, I know she can make key shots because I was afraid as hell when they went back to Minnesota because Kayla McBride gets off, we in trouble. And she went off in game three, but hey, we had a Kobe-esque type player show up when the time was right. But your best player, who played 4 minutes and 47 seconds of overtime, didn't take one shot. Didn't take not one shot. Why is that? Because you're caught up in something that's already happened. It don't took places in the past, so you decided not to move past it. And you're now mad at the refs when you still had the opportunity to win the WNBA championship for a fifth time. So we're trying to find out why is the ref the way it is, but at the same time, Coach Reeves, you did a phenomenal job this year. You brought gold medal back to the United States, which we cover here on the show. You gave us a surprising team in the Minnesota Lynx, one of the best defensive teams, if not the best defensive team of the season. But you let one call cost your focus. And a team that was focused all in the first half, and then in the second half lost focus. And Ryan found himself losing game five in overtime and losing the WNBA championship. If we're going to keep it, a book. Now, those of you who might have lost it, I agree. I didn't see a foul call. But at the same time, you had opportunities for not to get that far. And you had opportunities after it happened to make a noise about it. You didn't either. So you go home with an L and New York gets to celebrate. This right here. You can say it cost Minnesota, but it cost Minnesota in more ways than one, and not the one that everybody's referring to. Because with this happen, the players and the coach, an experienced coach, didn't focus themselves back into the moment and got ready for overtime. So with that being said, their first ever championship for the New York Liberty. Oh, 28 years, 28 long years, Finally, the New York Liberty has a title with Rebecca Lobo on a call. Teresa Witherspoon in attendance. I believe Cheryl Swoop was in attendance too, if I'm not mistaken. You already know Spike Lee was in attendance. Fat Joe was in the building. Don't know if Carmelo Anthony was in the building. Don't know. Stephen A. was not in the building. He's in Boston getting ready for the NBA season to start. But it's a title for the New York Liberty. A team, the only original team from the start of the WNBA that have not won the championship, is now over. They have finally captured the title. And ladies and gentlemen, even though John Crell Jones is the MVP and rightfully deserved, because without her, we don't win the WNBA championship. But at the same time, Nara Sabali, the unsung hero for game five. In 17 minutes of playing time, she came on the floor, gave me 13 points, 7 boards, a key steal, and that still happened in the fourth quarter, by the way, to give the Liberty the lead at one point. And then a key block on Afisha Kyer in the fourth quarter, too, by the way. She came off the bench. She played her butt off. She deserved her recognition. She deserved her shine because she's the unsung hero for the New York Liberty. With John Crell Jones being named MVP, Sabali is my unsung hero for game five on why the New York Liberty are finally called champions. And with them finally being called champions, Breonna Stewart's resume has grown even lengthier. This is Breonna Stewart's basketball resume. 4-time national champion at college level with UConn. 4-time tournament MVP in college. Now she's a 3-time WNBA champion, a 2-time finals MVP, a 3-time gold medalist, 2-time EuroLeague champion, 2-time EuroLeague finals MVP, a 7-time All-NBA, and a 6-time All-Defensive Team, which she was All-NBA this year and All-Defensive Team this year as well. Her resume is impeccable right now. She knows how to win. She is a champion among champions, and that cannot be ignored. But also, this shot right here. Ladies and gentlemen, this was game three. This is the shot that gave the New York Liberty their first ever final series lead. Sabrina Ionescu's 28-foot three-pointer that dropped with 1 second remaining in the game. Now that shot will go down in history forever as one of the best clutch shots seen in basketball. Because on a night where the Lynx was determined to not let Sabrina Ionescu get up, and guess what? She really didn't get off all series, to be honest. She found a way to get some space between her and McBride to hit that three in Minnesota in a pressure pack moment. And the Liberty ensured themselves at least 2 games to clinch it, which they did in game 5. This shot right here not only will live in Liberty history forever, in WNBA history forever, but in basketball history forever. What a shot by Sabrina Ionescu. And now you can be a champion. And with that being said, there you have it. New York Liberty, 2024 WNBA champions. There's nothing else that needs to be said. And this is how we're going to close this show out. You're going to go full screen with this shot right here. As I put it in to a fabulous season 2 of Shooting Lights Out here, covering from the NBA back in last October in 2023 to men's and women's college basketball to now this moment here as the New York Liberty close out the WNBA season as champions. That will do it for season 2 of Shooting the Lights Out. Season 3, I don't know when I will start season 3, but I know I'm going to take a break from basketball talk for right now and focus on a little more football. But with that being said, I thank y'all for tuning in. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, the Playmakers Ball YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification. So when we come live for college football with Bear Down and Gridiron and Ramley Talk, you'll be the first one to be notified. If you're watching on the Playmakers Ball Facebook page, go ahead, hit that follow button, hit that like button on the Facebook page, so you can not only catch anytime we go live, but any post that we put on there, such as our spotlight game of the week for Bearing Down the Gridiron, or any post little updates are going on within sports all around. Make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. And if you're on my personal LinkedIn page, I appreciate you watching in on LinkedIn as well. For the Playmaker, Daniel Silence here, signing off. And when I be back, I'll be back to talk some NBA. I don't know when, probably take a couple of weeks off and whatnot to relax from basketball and come back stronger, ready to talk some basketball for the NBA and college basketball. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the start of the NBA season. One more time, the New York Liberty 2024 WNBA champions.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.